Dr. Hoffman here. This Intelligent Medicine podcast is brought to you by Super Beets. I personally take Super Beets when I need a power boost. It's my favorite product. Super Beets gives me energy and stamina for my busy day. Right now, get a one-month supply free with your first order. Check out the Dr. Hoffman special right now at IntelligentBeets.com. That's IntelligentBeets.com. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, and a very happy new year to you, because this is the very first, the inaugural Intelligent Medicine Podcast for 2015. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and appropriately, we have chosen to talk about resolutions. That's in keeping with an article that I wrote that came out last month, which was the top 10 health resolutions you can keep, underlining can. And many of you saw that on Facebook, or you received it via our newsletter. It's posted at drhoffman.com. And around that time, I received a book in the mail. You know, I'm the recipient of a lot of books to review for potential guests on Intelligent Medicine. And, you know, quite frankly, I have to say a lot of these books, I mean, they're not on target. They're not of general interest to our listeners. And some of them go into the scrap heap. But this book I picked up, and I said, this book is perfect because it really exemplifies the approach that I like to take and I recommend for you and that I use with my patients to make tangible change. The fact of the matter is that the vast majority of us fail in implementing our New Year's resolutions. Today, we're going to talk to the author of a great new book, Small Move, Big Change, subtitled Using Micro Resolutions to Transform Your Life Permanently. She is Carolyn Arnold, and she has a very interesting background because her background is in the field of technology and business. She's on the board of directors of Goldman Sachs, or is it Morgan Stanley or Goldman Sachs?
I was at Morgan Stanley. I'm now at Goldman Sachs, and I'm a managing director.
You're a managing director. I'm sorry.
Which is sadly not as great as being on the board of directors, but it's pretty great.
Right. Well, you sit at one of those big oaken tables, and you're moving finances, and you're dealing with the complex problems. And in fact, one of her claims to fame is that she built the auction system for the Google IPO, I might say a very, very successful stratospheric IPO that would involved great complexity and technological expertise. And she has now turned her attention in her new book, Small Move, Big Change, to transforming people's lives. And it's a great book. So tell us a little bit about how you got involved in this. You confess in the book that you are, for a long time, were part of the 90-plus percentage of Americans who made resolutions and then seldom achieved them.
Absolutely. I mean, I failed every year. And I couldn't, you know, I couldn't understand, you know, how it was possible. And I think a lot of people have this. They do very, you know, they're able to get the things done at work they need to get done. They get the things done they need to do for their family. They fulfill those obligations, and even with a lot of energy and excitement. But the one thing they say they're going to do for themselves, the one change they want to make, is something that they give up on, you know, like 90% about, you know, 4 weeks into the year.
Right. By the way, I was in the gym this weekend, and I never saw so many people in my gym. I work out at the Y, and my abs class was absolutely wall-to-wall with people who were probably trying to atone for their previous weeks of excess. And then the spin class, the bikes were maxed out in the room. And I predict that by mid-February, it's going to be half the number of people.
Oh, yeah, you'll have your pick of the mat. I mean, books like mine, gym memberships, organizer stores, they all do their best business in January when people kind of come out of that, you know, self-indulgent period of the holidays. They eat a lot, they drink a lot, they spend a lot, and then they're ready to reform. And everyone goes at it with real zeal. Actually, you know, the average time for a fitness resolution is only 8 days before a collapse.
Wow.
And, you know, it's because people go from saying, you know, from not doing anything to say they're going to go four times a week. And, in fact, you know, they exhaust themselves because the, you know, willpower is just a very limited resource. I think many of us think of it as a character trait. They say, oh, that's so weak. If only I had more willpower. But for everybody, it's a limited resource. And when you've exhausted it, it's gone. And, you know, in opposition to that limited resource is a kind of, you know, autopilot that runs your life all the time without you thinking about it. And that's very powerful and tenacious. You know, you don't have to think to tie your shoes or to lock the front door to navigate to the bus stop. That's all part of your, you know, pre-programmed self, which leaves your mind free to do other things. And when you try to change a lot very quickly, you're really declaring war with very limited willpower against that very powerful autopilot. And autopilot's generally the winner after a few contested weeks.
Well, it's a little bit like I think what I've had this experience, you know, when a tennis instructor, a bad tennis instructor, tells you like five things to do at once, like keep your head up, bend your arm slightly, hold the racket, you know, with this grip, and pretty soon you're all bollocksed up.
Right. Same. It's exact same thing. I mean, when you think about a classic resolution like to be organized, right? I mean, if you're not an organized person, you're not going to wake up the next day organized. You're not going to have the attitudes of an organized person or the skills of an organized person. It's, you know, every, you know, and what's going to happen is you'll just berate yourself all day. You'll open a kitchen drawer and you'll say, gee, I've got to be more organized. And you'll pick up your mail and you say, be organized, be organized. And pretty soon you're just exhausted, just as you say in the tennis example. Whereas if you concentrate on not being different tomorrow, you know, being organized, let's say, but doing one thing differently tomorrow that you're going to do for the rest of your life, then you can make a lot of progress much more quickly than you would have believed. Because people are so impatient, that's why they say, oh, you know, I'm going to lose 10 pounds in a month. They didn't gain 10 pounds in a month, but they feel they've got to get it off in a month because they know their willpower will run out after that. So again, it's really the long game. But you get a lot of benefits up front that way, too.
Well, yeah, the other problem that I think, and I accentuated that in my article, is that people make vague resolutions. They say, in 2015, I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to eat good food. But what is it, you know, unfortunately, you got to break it down because that's kind of an intangible. And your resolutions like that are vague and they kind of float away.
Yeah, and those are the classic resolutions. You know, they are just exactly, I use that word a lot, they're abstract. They're closer to wishes than they are to plans for action, you know. You say, well, I'm going to eat healthy. You wish to eat healthy, but what does that mean? Are you going to bring a piece of fruit to work every day? Just that one change of habit, always having a piece of fruit handy for when you're hungry in the afternoon, will take some effort and some focus. But once you get it down and you've done it for a few weeks, you'll never want to do without it. If you're going to walk to work, when are you going to walk to work? What day are you going to walk to work? Because you say, well, I'm going to walk to work more often. All that happens when you say that is you negotiate with yourself every day a reason why today is not the good day. And that kind of negotiation is very expensive mentally. In fact, it uses the same mental resource pool that willpower is in. So willpower, decision-making, and active initiative are one limited mental resource. And when you draw down any of those, you're drawing down your willpower. So when you're trying to make a lot of decisions, well, should it be today? Should it be tomorrow? I can't go to the gym today because I forgot my shoes, but tomorrow will be a better day. You're really talking yourself out of a change in behavior, the very change in behavior that you need. Whereas if you're very specific to your point and you say, what I'm doing is this one thing or these two things, this is when I'm doing them, how I'm doing them, the day I'm doing them, And it's no excuses for those two things, then you can really make progress because those new actions that you take up and that you spend your limited willpower store against will be yours for life if you can manage to do it for 4 to 6 weeks.
Well, you're not a health professional, you know, in terms of credentials, but you write very cogently about how people can transform their health in a chapter in the book that I've highlighted, which is about diet and nutrition. And you also come to this from the perspective of a perennially failed dieter, and yet you've somehow prevailed over your previous bad habits. Tell us about your personal experience.
Yeah, my very first micro-resolution, which is what I call these small behavioral changes, was simply not to eat cookies in conference rooms. So after years of failing at the diet thing, after I had a success making a micro-resolution in another area, an organization, I thought, well, let me take this model of the very limited and reasonable no-excuses resolution and see if I can move the dial on diet. So the first one was not to eat a cookie in a conference room, because where I work, they'd have these enormous chocolate chip cookies, brownies, blondies, and just when you were most exhausted in the afternoon, this plate with doilies heaped with treats would pass your way. And I'm ashamed to say that I would not only eat one of these, but often once I ate one, I would eat two, and there were probably about 40 calories each. That was the very first resolution I made. I didn't say I would never eat in a conference room again, because that wouldn't be reasonable. I didn't say I'd never eat a cookie again, because that wouldn't be reasonable. Right. I could bring my own cookie, but I wasn't going to opportunistically eat these cookies. And I never ate one again.
Wow.
And I had a series of these that I made. Not eating when I cooked. I would prepare a meal. I'd be hungry when I was preparing it. And I would have a glass of wine. I would eat a piece of bread. I would eat a
right.
glass of cheese. Yeah. I was making, I just didn't do that. I stopped eating when I cleared up after my family. You know, I'd pick up the plates and see something nice that I'd made that didn't get eaten, and I would finish it off, gave that up. And I just had one or two at a time. I made these changes, and none of, I think the key was, Dr. Hoffman, that none of these changes in themselves was a big deal. I didn't say I'm going to change everything.
Right. It's not too daunting. You know, it's sort of like chunking it, because, you know, when I first learned how to ski, you know, they took me up to the top of the lift, and I looked down. I just visualized myself becoming a human snowball, you know, cascading like an avalanche down to the chalet a mile down the mountain. And my instructor, this is a life lesson. He said, look, you don't look down to the bottom. All you have to do is see that tree over there, just about 20 yards away. Just ski to that tree. And then turn, and then find another tree. And that's how you make progress in life. It's a little, you chunk it.
That's right. And it's how you learned it growing up. So for people who grew up making their bed, they turn around and make their bed, and the bed is made. That's autopilot. If you didn't grow up with that habit, and you're trying to be neater, and that's your first habit, it is going to take some effort to do that. But once you have that, you have it, and you are neater. What's great about these micro-resolutions is whatever you get that day for doing it is your reward. So the thing about New Year's resolutions is they tend to be a sort of someday proposition. If you say, okay, I'm going to be on time, again, you know, you're not saying you're going to do anything differently. Somehow you're magically going to be on time. It becomes a sort of someday I'll be on time, or I'm going to be thin by summer, I'll get into my bikini by summer. When you make these smaller resolutions, you're signing up for a benefit that you can understand and receive today. So if you're making your bed, that's the benefit. When you come home, your bed is made. When you want to go to bed, it's made. And that one change, though, carries with it an upfront payoff, because you're getting exactly what you signed up for the very first day. There's no someday about it, and you get it forever as long as you have it. But it does create another pattern in your mind and more awareness and more experience in an area you lack experience in that you can build on. So, for example, if you never hang up your clothes when you first take them off, if you learn to hang up your coat when you came home, and that's the one thing you're doing, I'm not going to drop it in a chair, I'm going to hang up my coat, it won't take long before you're hanging up everything, because it becomes a mindless thing that you do without devoting any effort to it. It's hard to understand that each one of these things has a certain skill associated with it. Well, hanging up clothes, how can that ever get any easier? Yep. Why is it effortful now? It's effortful now because it's not part of your autopilot and requires willpower to do it.
Well, it's interesting hearing you talk about these mundane tasks after you've pulled off this masterful Google IPO involving billions of dollars and hundreds and hundreds of high-level personnel and technocrats, and yet you're talking about very, very simple things in daily life. But actually, maybe there's an analogy between achieving business success, small victories, small milestones, as well as personal milestones.
That's very true, in that, it, especially at work, changes you make of this kind can vastly up your productivity and vastly improve your relationships and improve your organization. I've made so many at work. But what I would say about those big initiatives at work, like the Google IPO, which was sort of a, career-making opportunity, is everything at work is set up for you to be able to do that.
Yes, right.
You have other people.
It's a different realm, yeah.
Yeah, your job depends upon it. Your future depends upon it. All these things help you. And you're doing it during the period of day when you have the most energy. You're arriving at work. You're refreshed from sleeping. You're doing it. But when you're dieting, for example, or going to the gym after work, you've already done all that all day.
Yeah.
And now you're saying, okay, but now I can't have my Frappuccino. And now I have to go to the gym. And so you're more likely around the margins of getting it together for work or for your children or your family. And then what's left over, you don't want to be stressed out. So that's why so often you're able to do these things in other realms, but when you turn your grand will towards yourself, it just sort of withers and you don't know why.
Well, that's an really interesting observation, because I have many high-end, successful patients who, when it comes to professional discipline and accomplishment, they are very, very engaged and very, very disciplined. But when it comes to that other aspect of their life, their downtime, the little downtime they have a lot of difficulty managing diet, managing leisure, getting motivated to exercise. So there is sort of a dichotomy between the business world, which is, sanctioned and rewarded, and your own personal time, which some people feel that, that I gave it the office. So why should I do this now, and why should I subject myself to additional strictures and discipline?
Yeah. Oh, I love that analogy. I gave it the office. That's brilliant. Because you really did give it the office. Because if you remember, willpower, active initiative, and decision-making are this limited pool. And you're going to use all your active initiative and decision-making, a lot of that at work. So by the time you get home, your willpower will be at low ebb. I mean, nobody wakes up in the morning and breaks a diet. They break it at night. When you go to the mall, you resist and you resist impulse purchases. And at the last moment, when you get in line, it's studded with all these things that are designed to attract your eye when your willpower is at low ebb. And before you know it, you've dropped three more things into your basket. But there is a long-term fix for it, which, as I said, you need to be mindful about a change, which will cost you willpower, until it is mindless, and then it costs you nothing at all. So as I said, it really doesn't cost you anything to navigate to the bus stop or the subway if you do it every day. You'll be able to think deep thoughts and solve big problems while you do it because you've done it so many times. And it's the same with everything. It's the same with eating, with exercise. Things start out to be something you do very mindfully and with intention, and later they just happen on their own. So, I mean, I started out walking to work once a week. I had to force myself to do it. I had a reason every day not to do it. Now, I just like to walk. If I don't get a chance to walk in the morning, I feel cheated. That's the trick, is for whatever it is. In relationships, we don't realize how often our responses are on this autopilot. We apologize for things we're not sorry for. We're sarcastic and roll our eyes when people tell us things, that we've heard before. We raise our voice when someone else raises their voice, or we clench our jaw when something. Even those can be reverse engineered and broken down so that you are changing your response in a narrow circumstance to somebody. So if you're a very defensive person and you're trying to learn not to be defensive, it's not going to work to say you're not going to be defensive at work or with your children or with your partner. You're going to have to pick situations and practice a non-defensive response. And then when you realize that it really is possible to just hear something and not defend yourself, it will spread to other areas, right? And you'll just be very mindful about that one circumstance when I, you know, when my husband tells me I left the light on in the basement, I'm not going to give an explanation. I'm just going to say, oh, you know. And that way, you know, over time, you'll build a pattern of what it feels like not to be defensive, and you realize you really never had anything to be defensive about to begin with. But you have to allow yourself to have that new experience in a safe place, which means it's narrow and it's controlled. And it's amazing the changes that can come from such small shifts in behavior at work and in personal life.
Yeah, that's certainly, I mean, in the way that we interact with our loved ones is certainly an area where we could use some improvement in terms of automatic behaviors. Well, one of the things, actually, when I compiled my list of top 10 resolutions you can keep in 2015, the first resolution that I put down was get a tracker. Because there's so many opportunities now with the iWatch coming in and with the Fitbit and the Jawbone and various Android devices to track your behaviors, to track your diet, to track your exercise. So the iPhone now has an accelerometer in it so that unbeknownst to you, it's recording every step you take. And then you can see, you know, how far did I go? And therefore, it's more easy to set tangible goals, like I'm going to walk a mile a day, which is 2,000 steps. You can actually track it, and you can get immediate feedback. Is that something that you advocate as an adjunct to micro-resolutions?
Well, the thing I advocate that falls into is that micro-resolutions are an explicit and measurable action. You know, it's not to exercise more, right? I mean, what does that mean? Or to snack less. It's something absolute. So, to your point, having a tracker will help give you immediate feedback. Did you do it or didn't you? And keeping it narrow like that, so there's no guessing. And again, to cue it in such a way that if your resolution is to go to the gym for 15 minutes, let's say on Wednesday night, you go for 15 minutes on Wednesday night, and that's the only thing you measure your resolution on. You can go any other day of the week, but it doesn't count towards meeting your resolution because, again, you don't want to get into this bargaining thing. People say, well, why 15 minutes? Okay, it can be an hour. But a lot of the gym, if you haven't gone, is getting there when you're tired, changing into your clothes, getting out on the floor, doing something, coming back, taking a shower, putting your clothes back on.
And for women, it's doing the hair. The hair thing is like the big stopper for a lot of women.
The hair thing is like a deal breaker.
Yeah, exactly.
But again, you know, what is the patterning that I have to get used to do it? Let me get the feel of it. But I love the idea of getting a tracker because then you can measure it and you know, did I do it or didn't I? As opposed to, you know, I'm going to be slim by summer and every month that goes by you're saying, yes, well, if I actually now lose twice the weight this month that I plan to, I can still make it. Instead of, I'm going to actually just eat something less today and every day and I'm going to pick out what that thing is and I'm going to track it. Whether it's, you know, not eating bread at dinner or less of a glass of wine, or if I eat a candy bar every day at 3 o'clock, I'm going to break the candy bar in half and I'm going to eat half, and there goes, you know, 100 calories. You know, what's really interesting is a lot of the new medical science lines up with this power of the transformative power of the marginal behavioral change. So it turns out it's better for your health to get up and walk around 3 times an hour for a minute than it is to go to the gym
right.
for an hour.
Sitting is the new smoking, they say. That's the
sitting
new...
Sitting is the new smoking.
Right.
It's advantageous to run...
By the way, one of my top 10 resolutions is fidget. Get up and move around. And you can even set your tracker to alarm you if you've been sitting too long. It's like time to get up, go to the water cooler, talk to the receptionist or, you know, whatever.
Exactly. And if you go to the water cooler, you've knocked off another resolution, to drink more water.
There you go. And you point that out, that hydration is crucial. It could, I mean, just the act of having one additional glass of water per day can make a difference. You state scientific proof that helps people lose weight, it curbs appetite, and that your metabolism slows down when you're dehydrated.
Exactly. If you drink, I think, 16 ounces of water before you eat any meal, even if you eat the same as the same amount as someone who doesn't drink the water, you'll lose more weight on that. A lot of these things, there's a pattern, there's a theme to it, which is if you take care of yourself, you are rewarded again with a stronger self, right? More sleep, you know, adequate sleep, adequate hydration, nutritious food, all those things will bolster your ability to do anything. Do you know what I mean? Whereas if you're always depleting yourself and then expecting yourself to be able to do, you know, take on wholesale personal change, you're going to be very disappointed. But it's a funny thing about water. Once you start drinking it, you can't get enough of it. Like, I used to go all day without drinking any water. I never even felt it. Now I drink so much of it so often that as soon as my glass is empty, I feel thirsty, because it's a very, it's one of the more subtle physiological responses. They say by the time you really feel thirsty, you're very much on your way to being dehydrated, because it's such a subtle response. And so I love the idea of saying, I'm going to walk around by getting up every hour or twice an hour to go get a glass of water. Then you knocked off two of those things that is restorative to the self and will give you a boost for the rest of the day.
All right, this is a good point at which to pause, because as many of our Intelligent Medicine listeners know, we split our podcast into two parts. We'll continue our discussion with Carolyn Arnold on how to implement your New Year's resolutions. The book is entitled Small Move, Big Change, Using Micro-Resolutions to Transform Your Life Permanently. And I recommend this book very highly, because it's a great, concise way to bolster your resolutions as we begin 2015. We'll return in just a moment and talk more about how to implement micro-resolutions when it comes to diet and nutrition. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.